are Locked On Giants, your daily San Francisco Giants podcast. Part of the Locked On Podcast Network, your team every day.
Welcome back to Locked On Giants Baseball, part of the Locked On Podcast Network, your team every day. My name is Ben Caspick, and I'm thrilled to be with you again today. On this show, we provide daily episodes Monday through Friday, approximately 15 to 20 minutes in length, talking about the San Francisco Giants in a way that's data-driven and rational, but also simple, passionate, and accessible to all. Coming up on today's show, I'm going to air my conversation that I had with Javier Reyes, the host of Locked On Padres. Javier and I talk about the Giants and Padres seasons and this upcoming big four-game series against the Giants and the Padres. So I don't get a chance to talk about last night's win over the Seattle Mariners. Suffice it to say, the Giants took care of the Mariners easily and went on to win 10-1. So I do apologize. The audio quality on my end is not going to sound that great. It's going to sound like I'm on a phone call, because I am. But I hope you can bear with me. And of course, the audio quality will return to its normal state tomorrow when we talk about tonight's game against the Padres. So without further ado, here is my conversation with Javier Reyes of Locked On Padres.
All right, everybody, a returning guest. I've had him on before. This time, though, we won't have any recording errors, hopefully, as we did the last time, which we talked about. And the last time we talked, the Padres weren't like unanimously considered one of the more exciting teams in baseball. You know what I mean? I'm talking with Mr. Ben Caspick of Locked On Giants. First of all, before we get into our upcoming series, how are you doing during these stressful times, I guess one could say?
Well, I'm doing better today because the sky here isn't completely orange.
Right. I don't know if you saw That's what I was alluding that. To. That's what I was alluding to. Yeah.
It was the wildest thing all day yesterday. All day, from the first crack of dawn until nighttime, it was just bright orange sky. Very weird.
It was really just like that, because I saw all the pictures going around. Is it like better now? What's going on?
Yeah, now it's just smoky, which is also terrible, but I mean, honestly, what's weird is that the orange sky, there was actually good air quality. It wasn't bad air quality, but today it's smoke, and so it is bad air quality.
Jeez. Yeah, weird times we live in for sure. But basically, for today's episode, we thought we would do the old standby format, which is that I'm going to ask you two questions about the Giants, and then you ask me two about the Padres. That's how crossovers work, I assume, here on the Locked On Network.
Sure.
Just because, we've talked before, too. We talked in the grand scheme of things, not too long ago. But right now, the Giants got a big series. The Padres just swept the Rockies. Now they're heading to San Francisco, I believe. I forgot if it's a home game.
It's in San Diego.
So I guess, how do I start off? First of all, you guys are 23-21, which isn't bad. One could say that the Giants might be one of the more underrated teams in the league when you just kind of look at that win-loss record. What has been what are the big jump out things, and why are people underrating the Giants, I guess, right now, and what kind of moment they've had?
Yeah, what I think a lot of people on the outside might not know is that they have been just absolutely killing the ball basically all season long. They've been a top offensive team, and it's not just one guy. It's not just Mike Yastrzemski. It's up and down the lineup. Everybody who's been in the lineup, outside of maybe a couple guys who have been average-ish, everybody else has been great. And so some of it, I mean, you're not going to sustain that level of awesomeness at the plate, but all kinds of positive signs coming out of this Giants team, and specifically it's the offense that's carrying the load.
Yeah, I mean, it kind of reminds me, the team in general kind of reminds me of last year, in the sense that it's hard to pinpoint really many stars on the team except for Yastrzemski, and it feels like they're outplaying the eye test analytics. No, that doesn't make sense. Just the eye test factor, where not a lot of people are talking about the team too much, yet they're just scrounging wins up every now and then. And I think the difference with this year between last year's team is that it's definitely the Yastrzemski thing, and he's been a borderline MVP candidate next to my boy, of course, who he would be second place. Shout out to Yastrzemski. My thing I think I would want to ask is, we're basically like a week or so removed from the trade deadline. We talked about last time that Johnny Cueto was kind of like a trade potential guy. I don't believe he left the team. Is there like any kind of view on what this team's postseason prospects are? Are they kind of going for it, or at least going for it in whatever that means in this expanded playoff kind of situation we're in?
Yeah, I mean, it was definitely an interesting deadline for the Giants. They didn't really end up doing anything. They did make a tiny minor trade with the Rays. Mm-hmm. But there was the question, like, are they going to sell off some players or are they going to buy? But they ended up not doing anything. And I think people around here, myself included, understand and understood that this period of time for this team, it made sense more than maybe any other period to just kind of hold, because they were playing well and they were very much in playoff contention. And so you're not just going to want to trade off a bunch of players who are playing well for you, especially if you're not going to get a good return, like a worthwhile return. So like players on 1-year deals, those are typically like the rental, the most obvious trade candidates, like Kevin Gausman, who's pitching well for the Giants, mm-hmm. but is a free agent at the end of the season. And so it might make sense for a, quote, rebuilding team to trade a guy like that. Mm-hmm. But not this year, because from what I understand, teams were not willing to give up a lot for 1 month of a guy. And the Giants, he had more value to them as someone who could help them get into the postseason than just to acquire middling prospects just for the sake of making a trade. Why not just hold on to the guy and hope he can carry you into the postseason? And right now, they have a 2.5 game lead on a playoff spot. So they're very, mm-hmm. I'm not going to say they're very likely at this point, but they're more likely than not to make the postseason in this expanded field. And so they're very much going for it. And I think teams that play the Giants are aware of the Giants because they're beating people up. They're mm-hmm. not just going out there scratching out wins. They're scoring tons of runs. Mm-hmm. They're hitting homers. They're hitting for extra base hits just constantly. Their lineup has been relentless mm-hmm. up and down. And so it's going to be a really interesting series. Something's got to give because both of these teams are playing great right now.
Absolutely. Yeah, it's definitely for all the Padres fans out there. I mean, there's some underrated players on this team, even guys like Tony Watson, who have been really good in the bullpen. And even Longoria, to a degree, has been kind of not a resurgence, but like just a fine, you know, yeah. kind of player for them. I think that for the Padres fans, they look at this schedule and they're like, oh, yes, we got San Francisco coming up. So it's like, oh, no, it's actually like I still think the Padres are better in almost in basically every way for the most part, but this is definitely not a layup. It's not what we kind of expected. I mean, I know you were really high on, not high on the team, but you were high on the idea that this team could outplay kind of some of the, this is a bottom five team projections right. that they were getting. And clearly they're outperforming that. Who do you think are two under, like not even two, just who's the most underrated player do you think on the Giants that you think Padres fans should watch out for?
Donovan Solano. I mean, number mm-hmm. one, because
right.
I mean, the guy is hitting 340, 382 on yeah. base, 518 slugging, and he's basically done that ever since he came to the Giants. So mm-hmm. he did basically the same kind of thing last year. He's just been a machine, and he hits towards the top of the lineup, and he's hit some huge home runs for the Giants, including one against the Padres. I don't know if you remember way back in that yeah. first series, he hit a huge late home run.
Mm-hmm. It's not fun. Matt Strom, I'm pretty sure.
Yeah, exactly. And another guy, I mean, there's all kinds of guys. I can give you a lot of names. I mean, Alex Dickerson, who the Padres traded to the Giants for Franklin Van Gerp last year. Dickerson has been great also. He struggled in the first few weeks of the season, but since then he's been on an absolute tear. He hit 3 home runs in a game not long ago. He almost hit a 4th home run of the game. It hit the wall. And so he's been on fire. Trying to think of anyone else. Joey Bart has been called up. He's the Giants' top prospect, and he's playing and he's hitting the ball hard right now. So pretty much up and down the lineup, look for guys to be a threat more than probably Padres fans might think they would be.
You're listening to my conversation with Javier Reyes from Locked On Padres. More of that conversation is coming up next, but first I want to talk about rockauto.com. One reason to repair and maintain your cars is to save money that you can then use on more important things like the mortgage or food. Why would you choose to spend 30, 50, 100% more for the exact same auto parts at a chain store or new car dealership? Random example, a fuel pump assembly for a 2005 to 2010 Honda Odyssey cost $353.99 at Advance, which is a big chain store, and $216.79 at rockauto.com. Chain stores have different price tiers for professional mechanics and do-it-yourselfers. RockAuto.com's prices are the same for everybody and are reliably low. Best of all, RockAuto.com is a family business serving auto parts customers online for 20 years. Go to RockAuto.com right now and see all the parts available for your car or truck. Write "Locked On" in their "How Did You Hear About Us" box so they know that we sent you. Amazing selection, reliably low prices, all the parts your car will ever need. RockAuto.com. All right, now here's part two of my conversation with Javier Reyes from Locked On Padres.
Last question. One of the big things we talked about, and I think we, unfortunately, the recording that got lost, we got even more in depth with this, but what's kind of, how's Gabe Kapler doing? You know, how's the feeling around him? Because I know he was one of those controversial managers and one of these guys that people love to hate in the national media type of areas. You know, you got right. PTI railed against him when he was in Philadelphia, right? What's kind of the perspective on him now that the team has been, you know, pretty good?
Well, it was bad early because of some moves that people perceived to be bad moves. But to me, I always kept the perspective that, look, when the bullpen comes in and blows a game, it's easy to blame the manager for bringing in that reliever. And that's kind of a little bit what we saw early in the season. He did make one like legitimate mistake, which is similar to something he did in Philadelphia. He like made a second mound visit that he wasn't allowed to make. He wasn't allowed to remove a pitcher, but he tried to, and the umpires like said, you can't do that, which was embarrassing, but ultimately it didn't really matter in the grand scheme of things. And then a defining moment for the Giants season was in like the third week or so. They blew a 5-run ninth inning lead. And then the next day they blew a 3-run ninth inning lead. And then two days later, they blew a 1-run ninth inning lead. So they just melted down. And at that point, they were 8-16. They had twice as many losses as wins. And people were just pissed at Gabe Kapler. And they thought it was his fault for like using the closer with a 5-run lead and then using the closer in the same or the next day, and he blew the game. So they were blaming him. Everybody was mad. But since that time, they have just been on an absolute roll. I think they're 15-5 since then. And public opinion has changed because he's pulling all the right strings. They're winning games. He's making moves that are working. It's totally changed. And people are really high on this team right now. So it was tough to overcome because there was a lot of negativity, but now it's gotten to the place where people are beginning to see the light and see the positive with this team. And Kapler.
That's an interesting thing you bring up about kind of a turning point. And then, you know, they're 15-5, like you said. The Padres, I think, are 15-5 or 15-3, basically ever since the Tatis 3-0 home run, right? So it's these two teams are very, like, kind of, everything's kind of changing. Jace Tingler for the Padres, on the other hand, he's had some kind of similar things with the bullpen. And I'm kind of lukewarm on the guy. I'm like, whatever. I got more annoyed by his not defending Tatis among everything else when it came to his managerial decisions. And I think most people agreed with that. But when you're right, when it comes to the bullpen, it's like, yeah, it's easy to say like, oh, you should have, for the Padres, you should have brought in, you know, Matt Straub instead of Craig Stammen. It's like, well, he's trying to conserve the bullpen and also pitch better. You know what I mean? Right. He can't tell them what to do. Exactly. You know what I mean? So to a degree, I don't like blaming managers for everything, but yeah, it's an exciting series, man. I think it's a low key exciting series. I know that football is starting tonight as we record this. So it's definitely going to be the, I don't know, like 27th story on the news bar, which is understandable. Right. But I think that for baseball fans, I would be tuning into the series for sure. Do you have any questions for me now?
Oh, I definitely do. Obviously, the Padres are playing great. Mm-hmm. And it's good to see that they're reaching the potential that we knew they had. I mean, when we talked before the season, we expected them to be good, and it's good to see that they're doing that. But what I want to know is the Padres had a very busy trade deadline. Mm-hmm. And so you brought in Mike Clevenger, you brought in Mitch Moreland and Nola, the catcher.
Right.
So I want to know, like, what did you think about all that activity, and How have those guys performed, and what should Giants fans expect out of those new players?
Well, Kleffinger just pitched the other day, so I don't think he's going to pitch against the Giants. It's probably Richards. No, tonight is Paddock, and then it's probably going to go Richards. And then no, they're going to throw Lamed at you. So you probably aren't going to see Kleffinger.
Series, I think.
Oh, it's a four-game series?
I think it is, yeah.
Oh, let me check that then.
Maybe I'm wrong. Second. Sorry to interrupt.
No, please. I wanna see. It is four. So you might get to see Kleffinger in the fourth game. So that's exciting. I think the main view for me is, objectively speaking, the best thing that happened is the Kleffinger trade, but specifically because they didn't have to give up their top prospects. When I first heard about the deal, the first thing that came to my mind is that they had to give up Patino, or maybe they gave up, maybe not Taylor Trammell, because they already had given him up for the Austin Nola trade. But that was my first thing in mind. Like, this is going to cost a lot. This guy has been an ace quality pitcher for basically the last like two or so years. And they didn't. So that was what was most exciting. And it was just kind of cool to see that they're going for it. You know what I mean? This has been AJ Preller's thing. He is a gambler. He is Howie Ratner in Uncut Gems. He is Mike whatever in Rounders. He's going for it. This guy, ever since 2015, he's like, I'm changing the culture around here. We're going to actually make moves. It's going to be farm system stuff too, which is great. I don't like it when GMs just think, yeah, like anybody could trade their top prospects for guys who are major league proven stars. You know what I mean? Anybody can do that. But to be able to conserve those prospects, they've still got, for everybody who might not be familiar, Locked On MLB Prospects of the Locked On Network. Shout out Aaron Layton. Ranked Mackenzie Gore at CJ Abrams at the top 10. So everything's looking good there. And I think that it's been shown, you know, he trades for Matt Kemp and all these, maybe they don't all work, right? Maybe the Trey Turner trade was a bust, right? But bottom line is that you're seeing the fruits of the labor come through. And what's so fun about this Padres team is Mackenzie Gore is probably going to be the only like technically homegrown player that they have when he finally is brought up, because Tatis, he comes from Chicago, right? Tommy right. Pham, who's not playing right now, he comes from Tampa. You know, Jerickson Profar and Mitch Moreland, like you mentioned before in the trade. It's basically a team that's been brought together over years and years, and somehow it's not all Farb system, guys. It's very, very weird what's going on with the roster construction, but it's worked. And I think that the most exciting thing is still got that top farm system, and this clearly looks like this is the team for the future. It doesn't look like there's too many areas that they have to address per se. They did kind of address the bullpen with Rosenthal and starting pitching. You know, I guess the only thing is the big question might be Paddock, but for the most part, I'd say I'm thrilled with AJ Preller, and I like that he's turned San Diego into a team that people need to pay attention to instead of just the, oh yeah, they're the Padres, they'll do what they do. What are they, right, rebuilding for the 10th year in a row? Nope, not anymore, sir. Now they have stars, and they have excitement and genuine media buzz, which says a lot.
It does, and a lot of that centers around Tatis, and rightfully so. And he's led the Padres to a 28-17 record, second place in the National League West. Last question for you. How's it going to feel if the Padres make the postseason for the first time in so long? And how would you feel? I think currently they'd be slated to play the Phillies in the first round, the best of three. So how would you feel if they make the postseason, and what would you feel like their chances would be against the Phillies?
All right, so a lot of thoughts there. First of all, I have to admit, it's not like I've been following the Padres since the real dark days, you know, post 2005, 2006, you know what I mean? I started being more of a fan and being interested in them ever since AJ Preller basically came on board, because I was like, who are these losers, you know, this loser team, you know what I mean? The ultimate underdog team. Who do they think they are, trading for all these guys almost? I loved it. I was so attracted to that. And that's when I started slowly following them. And here I am now. So I can't claim that I have the same allegiance to them as some other fans do. You know what I mean? I can't say that I've been there in the darkest of days when Will Venable and my beloved Seth Smith were the best players. And I followed them day in and day out, just hoping that they'd score three runs. You know what I mean? So I can't say that, but it's definitely satisfying to be part of it. You know what I mean? Just being able to cover the team. It's so exciting, because not only are they good, they're exciting. There's a two giant different things. There are plenty of I mean, let's be honest, the Dodgers, I don't know about you, nobody's really talking about them this year. They're really good, but nobody's really like, oh wow, what a team. They're talking about Mookie. I think they're talking about Betts. That I will give you, they are talking about Betts a lot, who's god dang it, Boston, you know what I mean? Why'd you have to give that guy up to the Dodgers? But right. And then for the other thing about Yeah, 13-year contract.
Get used to him.
We will be. Hopefully we could counter it with our own stars. But I think that it's going to be so much fun to watch this team in the playoffs. I think a lot of people are watching them. And thankfully, it doesn't seem like, yeah, their offense is the thing everyone's talking about. But I am hopeful that they've got Clevinger and Lamet to be those kind of, I think you need those ace type of stars. So we'll see if Clevinger can kind of, you know, he's been fine for us so far, but he hasn't been quite ace levels, Mr. Sunshine himself. And the last thing with the Phillies, I would love if we play the Phillies because my best friend is a Philadelphia fan and I hate his guts. Basically, I've mentioned on the podcast that he runs our fantasy baseball league along with another friend I have, and he's a fascist, and he decided to completely make fantasy baseball not fun and using categories you aren't supposed to use in fantasy sports, like runs created, slugging, OBA. It's like, why are you penalizing my team for striking out when they're driving in 80 guys a game? This is dumb. So I'm mad at him for that. So I would just, yeah, he's my friend and all that. I used to root for his teams. No. And the Phillies, I ain't got nothing against them. They have Joe Girardi and they have Bryce Harper, who I really like, who's literally on my team. I think a fantasy team, of course. So I have nothing against them, but that team is one that I could see it flying off the rails. I mean, yeah, they've got Nola and they've got some guys, but that bullpen has been a disaster basically all season. So I'd feel confident heading into that series versus another team like, I don't know, the Braves, although the Braves are too good for the Padres to play them in round one. So that definitely is, it's a team that would be interesting to watch for sure. And I think would make for a really great series, and it would lead to some great trash talk between my friend and myself. So I'd be absolutely overjoyed if they played Phillies in round one.
All right. That was my conversation with Javier Reyes from Locked On Padres. Thank you so much to Javier for the conversation. Really looking forward to this series against the Padres. It gets underway tonight with Chris Paddock on the mound for the Padres, right-handed pitcher. He's been a little bit home run prone, so we'll see if the Giants can take him deep and hopefully, you know, continue to hit, and maybe we'll see a win and an upset in this series. We'll be back with another episode tomorrow talking about tonight's game. Remember to get this show every weekday. Please hit that subscribe button if you haven't done so already. Once again, my name is Ben Kaspic. You can follow me on Twitter at Ben Kaspic. That's K-A-S-P-I-C-K. If you enjoyed this show, please consider rating it or leaving it a review. Whatever you can do is very much appreciated. Thanks so much for listening, and until then, we'll see you next time.